Yep, I have my glasses. We're live? Yep, I'm putting my mic on. We're live?
Yep.
Let me hear a Kol Hazman after I say Elohim Tov. Elohim Tov?
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman?
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time.
All the time, God is good.
All the time, God is good. Believe it or not. I just wanted to, you guys see that guy Jeffrey Epstein got arrested?
Yeah.
Did y'all see that?
The billionaire.
People don't think that Trump is on his job, but that guy is, he's a definite chess player. He's playing chess and the people around him are playing checkers.
Yeah.
Because he's got a couple other things up his sleeve too. But I know this billionaire with his two mansions and he owns an island and everything. I know he never thought he'd be sitting in jail.
Right.
They thought he thought he paid his way out of it the first time, but this time he is in jail. Yeah.
The exact same thing.
But you know, this time they didn't let him off. They didn't. There was no state police chief, you know, and state attorney. This is federal. This was DOJ, right? This was Trump's team. There's Trump. Trump has a thing called Broken Hearts. Is it Broken Hearts? Yeah, I think it's called Broken Hearts. And he is determined to bring down this pedophile thing throughout the world. And he knows what Obama and what Hillary were doing with all these children, and he knows exactly what was going on. $1 billion business. He tries to get us a border wall so we can shut down the drug and the pedophile business that's coming through the border. So they fought against that because they don't want to lose their money.
Right.
And so now he finally arrested this billionaire, and they broke down his house, and man, they was carrying stuff out there. They said they found so much filth in there, pornography with children, all kinds of stuff in his house.
It was just all over the place.
All over the place. You could just see it's just the way he lives. And one of the young girls who had got abused by him when she was 14 was in the car crying. She said when I heard it, he was still on the street. She said, I used to just think about, like, how did that happen, you know? But she was crying. She said, it's like now there's like, I feel like some justice is about to get done.
Wow.
And she must be about 21, 22 right now. But she said she just thought he'd never get caught.
Savannah said they arrested 53.
Yeah.
Sex traffic ring here in Houston, Texas.
Wow. And see, this is all DOJ stuff. This is Donald Trump's project. This broken heart thing that he has going throughout the world. So you just think about it. NXIVM,
yeah.
all of these, the Oprah Winfrey guy who's the healing had 600 women that he had already abused. Yeah, he was having them have children so that they could keep the whole factory going. And Oprah had publicized him and made him popular. And, you know, Clinton's had went there and popularized him, you know, so you got Clinton somewhere, you know something dirty's right. Going on. So it was just, I am happy to see it happening.
Amen.
And people said, and people still, you got these goofballs, you know, like Donald Trump is still a bad person. He's anti-abortion.
Right.
And he's pro-arresting pedophiles. You don't have to be anything else for me. You understand? You don't have to be anything. If you just those two things, I am happy you are my president. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. So I have a little issue because I want to know why. If you meet a Christian and you're talking to that Christian and they're happy they're meeting you, you're happy you're meeting them. And then you bring up the rapture, and it's like the whole attitude, their whole demeanor changes, right? It's like they don't want to be your friend anymore. And it's like, I'm like thinking to myself, what does that spirit come from that two Christians can meet and then one say, well, are you ready for the rapture? And the other one says, starts acting like they don't want to be your friend anymore. It's like, where did this come from that Satan has the whole world afraid to talk about the rapture? I mean, it's like throughout the Bible telling you that this day is going to come, that two will be in one place, one will be taken, the other one left, that the Lord is coming down to the cloud, he's taking his people out of the world, be ready. All of these warnings are in the scriptures concerning the rapture, and it is like almost taboo, not amongst the worldly people, because they'd be like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Amongst Christian people. And so when I was at YTS in 2002, I was in prison ministry. I was charged California Youth Authority, right? And I was the chaplain, and I was doing Bible studies. And I mean, we had kids getting saved, we got kids getting baptized. I mean, gang members, you know? And everything's going good. And then I asked the chaplain one day, I say, you think that Israel will turn 70 years old and there'll be no rapture? And he looked at me crazy, and from that day on, he didn't like me no more. And I was like, what is it about me telling you that I expect that Jesus is coming that would make you so upset at me? And but it is the whole attitude change. I was coaching football last year, right?
I remember.
They at Christian High School, they asked me to coach the high school team. I'm coaching a high school team, which is not a good team at all. They were not very good. I was upset about that. I was hoping to rapture Cubs because we ain't going to win a game. And they brought me in. They said, well, you know, we don't want you to just coach. We also like you to teach biblical history here on the campus. And I said, sure, I'd love to. And so I go there, and they said, oh, somebody saw online that you preach that the rapture is coming. And I went, yeah, I do. And they said, oh, well, we can't have you teach here, but you can coach the football team. I said, wow, because I believe in the rapture, you're telling me I can't teach biblical history? So you guys have got to understand that when something is this serious, it has to be spiritually motivated, okay? Because if the rapture is so important that there's an attack on it, not from the outside, but from the inside. And when God told me, he said, the scoffers are going to come from the church. And the scoffers are not coming from the world. The scoffers are coming from the church. And so therefore, we don't have to worry about the world and what they believe. It's dealing with our own people who go to church, and they're the scoffers. They are the ones. But Micah chapter 7, he said, the day of their watchman has come.
Yeah.
When it happens, he says, the day of your watchman has come. And when that day happens, he says, now who are you mocking? When the day of your watchman comes, now who are you going to say, oh, it ain't never happening. Oh, that ain't. Oh, why you got to talk about that? Even if it doesn't happen, it's still the most joyful thing for me to talk about.
Yeah.
It's the most joyful hope that I have in my Christian walk is to know that Jesus has already said, I'm coming to get you.
Amen.
And so I'm looking forward to that. But I realized something, and God told me, here, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 real fast. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Because I think that as Christians, we don't really understand that there is a spiritual war going on.
That's right.
I want to just get a camera and go out, Pastor Ben, and say, do you believe that there are angels and demons living amongst us? Because I think most people don't believe it. I think they think that humans are here, there's no angels, there's no demons, it's just us. And I'm trying to convince them and tell them, look, you are a spiritual being.
Yes.
You live in a physical realm, but there are spiritual angels here that are on God's side, and there are demonic angels here that are on Satan's side, and there you're in the middle of a spiritual war, and the war is really over the souls of people, yep. You know? And so one of the reasons why they don't want rapture to happen or want people to talk about rapture is because you're warning people to be ready to escape.
Yep.
Okay? And Satan doesn't want you to warn people to be ready to escape. So he has a lot of doctrines that tell people, you're fine, I'm fine, don't worry about it. If you're complacent, if you're lukewarm, as long as you go to church and you accepted Christ. But scriptures are very intense on who goes and who doesn't.
Amen.
And for us to be soft on that as Christians is not right. To say, well, you know, he's really a nice guy. He doesn't like really going to church or reading his Bible. But deep down, he loves the Lord. And the Lord's like, he is lukewarm as ever.
Right.
And if I came right now, I'd leave him. And if we don't tell him,
yeah.
You know what I mean? They're in the same predicament as someone who is not saved, who has never known Christ, because their whole attitude about God is lukewarm, which means complacent. Okay? As I'm complacent about it. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12.
Pastor, can I ask you a question?
Yes, please ask.
This is from Christ follower Octavia. Pastor Ben. Pastor Ben, I have a very... Okay, that's all right. I'll ask you later.
That's what Octavia said?
Nope, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, was it too deep?
Yeah, I'll ask you later.
Okay, so here we are. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. And we are in let's just start at verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Oh, I love that. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. God has power. Okay. I want you to know you're in a spiritual war, but he did not leave you without power. Okay. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers. What rulers? Rulers that are in the demonic realm, against authorities that are in the demonic realm, against powers that are in the demonic realm, against and in this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
Yeah.
So in the heavenly realms, which is the second heaven, the Lord already told me the second heaven is corrupt.
Yep.
And that's where those angels are going to get kicked out and cast to the earth.
Yes.
And it says principalities and powers, right? Mm-hmm. We are fighting against principalities and powers, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this is a real war, okay? It's not the war that you think. It's a war for your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a war for your attitude. It's a war for your dedication to God. It's a war for your complacency. That's what the war is for. Don't you know that there are people that are in hell that went to church that Satan says, how did they get here? The way they got there was Satan worked on them. He had demons work on them to make them complacent and make God secondary in their lives.
Amen.
And then they end up not saved because there's some pastor telling them that once they are saved, they are always saved. I have one, Pastor Ben.
Pastor, I do have that question I can ask.
Okay, give it to me.
Pastor Ben, I have a very self-interested question about the rapture. Do pregnant ladies give birth in glorified bodies, or will the babies appear out of the womb on the way up to the cloud part?
You're going to have to ask Jesus. I don't know. But I am anxious to see, because if somebody's pregnant and they saved, I want to see. But I don't know that. You know what I mean? I would actually have to see that. That is There's a lot of questions about the rapture that I don't know. I don't even know how is our flesh going to fall here on the ground and we go?
Right.
Are the clothes going with us? Is it going to be like the movie? Are the clothes going to be left on the chair and you're going to be in the heavens? How is it all going to happen? I want to know. But until it happens, none of us really know. And every time I see someone who's pregnant, I go, man, I was hoping Danita, like, had the baby on the way up. You know what I mean? Because we just don't know. So that's a very tough question. Now, I do know that Joel 2 says that the children are going.
Yeah.
And it says all of the children, those that are even still sucking at the breast, all of the children are going.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know that much. But I don't know about that. That's a tough question.
And we don't have any rapture dates. Is that right, Pastor Stanley?
Somebody has a July 17th day. I told them I have nothing to do with it, but it is within the wheat harvest season, because
right.
the wheat harvest lasts for about July 21st, right? So it's within the wheat harvest season. So if they want to say July 17th and they're riding with it and everybody's getting excited about it, have at it, because I'm telling you, it's within the harvest season. If it happens, it's right on time.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. No, I mean Colossians chapter 2, verse 15.
Colossians chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
And what verse?
Verse 15.
Is there an age of accountability, Pastor Samuel?
What?
Age of accountability.
13 is supposed to be, but 20, it was mentioned in the Old Testament, but I think it's 13.
20 is mentioned in the Old Testament?
Yeah, they said everybody 20 and under. Okay, so here we go. It says, and having disarmed the powers, okay, this is Jesus, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, or powers and principality, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Where did Jesus do that at? Remember, when Jesus died on the cross, the one who ascended also descended.
Yeah.
And the scripture here says what he did when he descended. He made a public spectacle of them. You understand? It said he made a public, having disarmed them. First, he disarmed them and took their power and authority. And he made a public spectacle of them and triumphed over them by the cross. Okay, so all power, rather principalities or powers or demons or anything, all of that power was taken and given over to the authority of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, and the Christ that lives in you has given you the authority of his name to be used in the earth realm. That's why you don't have to be fearful. That's why you can live in victory. Because I'm not telling people who are sinning that, oh, just throw up the name of Jesus. Because if you're sinning, you're in trouble,
right?
But if you're living for Christ and you're going through something and you're refusing to open your mouth and put the name of Jesus on that situation, you're doing yourself a disservice, because it is Jesus who wants to get involved. Jesus has an army. It's an army of angels that are here for the purpose of those who are inheriting eternal life. Okay? So now, when a situation comes up and you're quiet about it, I'm a military officer, right? I'm a general. I got 100,000 men standing there waiting for my authority to speak, right? If I don't say nothing, what are they going to do? Huh? They're just going to stand there, right? That means I have the authority. I'm the one who has to open my mouth and take control of the situation. No Christian should come into a situation and say, well, I'm not feeling good. Well, the doctors told me this, but I'm not going to say anything. No, you have angels. There are healing angels that are in authority under the name of Christ, that you've got to call them into action. You understand? There are protection angels that you have to call them into action. You understand? It's like God, I'm not saying God is not watching over you, but he has an array of military soldiers that will go. Even when Jesus was about to heal the young girl, he said, the guy said, look, Lord, you don't have to come to my house and heal me. He said, and heal my daughter. He says, because I am a military commander as well. And I say to one man, go, and he goes, and to this one, come, and he comes. And he says, all you need to do is say the word, and I know my daughter will be healed.
Yeah.
Jesus was incredibly happy about that person's faith. He says, I've never seen faith like this in all of this land. Why? He understood how it worked. He said, you just say the word, because I know that by your authority, it will happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we have to be that way spiritually, because we're in a spiritual battle. All right. I want to read one more. Philippians chapter 2. And I think we're going to read 8 and 9. And it says, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name, right? That is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen to what it says. It says, he gave him the name that is above every name.
Yeah.
Okay? So the name has power. Say the name. Speak the name. Use the name. You understand? Mm-hmm. I'm giving you my checkbook. And I'm giving you my signature. You can go and purchase whatever you want. But don't forget to use the signature of the name. You would go out and go crazy, right? Because you know I got the book and I've been given authority to sign and use the name, right? That's what God is saying. So we're in a spiritual battle and you got the authority. Now, let me tell you something. With God, complaining has never accomplished anything. You can sit there and go, this whole situation just makes me mad. What does that tell the angels? You know what I mean? I can't believe they're telling me this. I don't tell it. But you say, in the name of Jesus, I say, take authority of this situation. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you send angels of peace. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you do this, that you break the spirit of confusion. In the name of Jesus, right? Because you're dealing with demonic spirits in situations. And if nobody puts the name on it, then the situation doesn't get dealt with. But we have a name that has the power and the authority of it to use in the earth realm, but you got to use it. No way someone should say to you, hey, my sister or my brother's in the hospital sick, and you say, well, I'll tell my pastor to pay for him, and knowing you're a Christian too. I'll tell my pastor to pray for him. You go and pray for them. You go and lay hands. What does Mark 16 says? If you will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So look, it doesn't have to be me. Nowhere in that scripture, Mark 16, does it say, as long as he's a pastor, he can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. It says, if you are a believer, if you have accepted Christ, you have the power to lay hands and the sick will recover. Now, there's a spiritual battle, okay? And I don't know how to convince us that we have friends here and we have some enemies here. Mm-hmm. And whether you can see them or not, guess what? They see you, okay? And since they know that you're a spirit being, sometimes they whisper things to you.
Yeah.
And if they whisper something to you, the scripture says what? Cast down your imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. So if I whisper to you something that is against the knowledge of God, what are you going to do? I cast that down in the name of Jesus. That ain't right. Right? So because you have the ability and the authority to do it. Okay? So now if you hear a voice that is like, you have someone that's been through something and they hear a voice saying, maybe you're attracted to boys. Maybe you're homosexual. Maybe you're this. Do you think those thoughts are coming from you, or you think they're coming from a spirit that sees a situation that they could take advantage of? So they start telling you this. And then now they start telling you this, okay? You know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is like you're in a military camp and you dig a hole, right? And you plant yourself in that hole so that it's a foxhole. It's a stronghold for you to. And so once I tell you you're homosexual, right? Then they say, I was born this way. What did they just do? They just dug the first shovel for their foxhole. Then they said, well, these are just feelings that I have, and I feel better if I could just be me. They're just digging more holes, right? So what you're doing is you're listening, and you know that it doesn't line up with Scripture, because homosexuality doesn't line up with Scripture. So you were supposed to cast it down in the name of Jesus and bring every thought into what? The obedience of Christ.
Amen.
But if you don't bring it into the obedience of Christ, the demon will know you're listening. And they'll keep telling you, well, say this. Well, say I was born that way. Well, say this. And before you know it, you're making excuses. And now you're becoming what that demonic spirit, and it attaches itself. Because I'm telling you what the Lord told me. Look, if there was no demonic spirits over homosexuality in the world, there'd be no homosexuality in the world. Because God made men, and God made men with a purpose and a natural ability attraction to women, right? Why is it that no other animal in the world is homosexual except humans? Because you're a spiritual being, and spirits speak to spirits, and you have to know when to take authority over that.
Amen.
Okay, I want to show you guys something. I'm going to be reading from the book of Enoch for a minute, okay? Because you guys know Genesis chapter 6, right? You guys know that these angels saw the beauty well, let's read it, and then I'll get to Enoch, okay? Because just saying it doesn't do the thing. Because I want to show you, I'm doing this not because you don't know this, but I want to show you that they're here.
Yeah.
Okay? And one of the things they fight against is what? Don't you talk about rapture. Because if you talk about rapture, I'm telling you, somebody's going to get ready and somebody's going to escape.
Yeah.
Don't you talk about it. Oh, those are crazy people. Don't talk about that, right? I'm seeing now that this is too strong to just be natural.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And we were talking about, Drea, before you got here, that you could be talking to somebody about any subject in Christianity if you meet a new Christian, but if you brought up the rapture, they would shy away from you. Yeah. That is spiritual. Because that is something that is unnatural, that two Christians can talk it, having fun, glad to meet each other, and then some one of them say, are you ready for the rapture? And then the other one don't want to talk to you. That is spiritual, okay?
Pastor Sandy, the book of Enoch, can they read that?
Yes, read the book of Enoch. Very good book.
Is that part of the Bible?
It is not part of the Bible. 66 books are part of the Bible. But the Bible does quote from Enoch. So if Jesus can quote from Enoch, then maybe I can read Enoch, right?
Amen.
The Bible quotes from Jasher. So if it quotes, then I can read it. But if it's not, you know, if the Bible doesn't validate it, then don't use it, okay?
Pastor, there's a problem online. You have people talking about once saved, always saved. They don't get it. They think once God forgives you, that's it.
You're dealing
because you love him.
You are dealing with a spirit that wants people to believe that, okay? You're not going to argue anybody out of that. I've realized that, okay? If you have somebody that believes it, tell them, I don't believe it. Here are some scriptures, take them, but I don't want to talk to you about it. I have to pray for you over it because that demonic spirit is telling you that you can live any way you want and still be saved. And it's not true, okay? And then walk away from it. But don't sit there arguing. I'm seeing Christians fighting over crazy. Some guy wanted to get in a fight with me the other day because I wouldn't believe the word is flat. I'm like, I don't believe it. First of all, there's a scripture that said God sits above the circle of the earth, okay? Mm-hmm. So I said, I believe that. I believe that circle is a earth round, okay? And that's it. If you believe it's a flat earth, have at it, enjoy, you know what I mean? But don't get mad at me because I don't believe that the earth is flat. Because if it's flat, how come nobody fell off?
Well.
So my thing is I don't believe in it, okay? So don't try to get me to believe in a flat earth, okay? I just don't believe in it. Okay, let's move on. Oh, yeah, you got me all mad.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All over again. I was like, dude, I don't have to believe in that to be your brother, do I? Well, if you were smart, I was like, oh my God. Okay, here we go. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born to them. It says, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants. Okay, it doesn't say, there's no word giants. The word is Nephilim, and it means fallen ones, okay? They only use the word giants because they were giants, okay?
Right.
But they were Nephilim. The way you say fallen in Hebrew is Nephal. Nephilim is fallen ones, okay? More than one. So there were Nephilim in the earth in those days, and also after when the sons of men came into the daughters of men and bore children with them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. So we have this problem going on, right, in the earth because we just got here. You understand? You come in on the middle of a movie and you don't really know what's going on. That's why God gave us the Bible.
Yeah.
So you can rewind and see what happened in the earth and where you're at in the earth. Okay. And so we look back and we see, oh my goodness, God gave some angels here on the earth to watch out over men. And those angels disobeyed. And because they have the ability, because the angel can do this even now, take on human form. They took on the human form and went to these women and took wives and had children by them, knowing that they are spiritual beings. And out of them were born Nephilim, okay? Now, these Nephilim grew to be giants. And so, here, let's begin to read this, okay? Now, we have a problem here. The first problem we have is this. Then they were all together and all bound themselves to mutual agreement. Their whole number was 200, and they descended upon Ardis, which is the top of Mount Hermon. Okay, and what did the 200 agree? They agreed that we're going to do what we want to do. They came out of obedience to God. They said, we're going to take human wives and we're going to have children with these human wives. And we 200 have come in agreement to disobey God. Okay. And then it says here in verse 10, it says, then they all took wives, each choosing for himself whom they began to approach, with whom they cohabited. And they taught these women, they taught the people sorcery. Okay. So they're teaching them demonic things. He taught them sorcery
incantation, witchcrafts, how to do spells. They taught them how to divide roots and trees, which means they taught them how to use certain plants for drugs. And those plants to use for drugs were for a purpose for them. What was the purpose for them? To open the pineal gland. They knew about the pineal gland, and the humans didn't. The humans did not know they had a door inside of their brain that if someone taught them to use the right roots and the right drugs, that they could open them for spiritual possession. And so they taught them all of these things. Now, do you think God is mad at these angels?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. And in verse 11, it says, and the women conceiving brought forth giants, whose status was each 300 cubits. These devoured all which the labor of men produced, okay, until it became impossible to feed them, when they turned themselves against men in order to devour them. So they ate up all the fruit, all the vegetables, and then when there was nothing else to eat, they said, well, let's just eat the humans. Nephilim eat human beings? Listen to this. And then it says, and they begin to injure birds and reptiles and fish and eat their flesh. And after another, and they also drank their blood. Mm. Okay? So these things are into some weird behavior. You understand? This is a horror movie living amongst the people of God.
Amen.
Okay? And so God wants to what? Let's get them all off the face of the earth. Let's get rid of them. So what's the purpose of the flood? Was it only because man was sinning? It was more than because man was sinning. It was because God had to start the whole thing over and get rid of this demonic spirit out of the world. Okay? Let's continue. Press plate. Okay. I'm going to read this portion here. Okay. And it says, then Michael and Gabriel and Raphael and Suriel and Uriel, these are the good angels, looked down from heaven and saw the quantity of blood which was shed on the earth and all the iniquity which had was done upon it, and said to one another, it is the voice of their cries. And the earth, deprived of her children, has cried even to the gates of heaven. And now to you, O ye holy ones of heaven, the souls of men complain, saying, obtain justice for us with the Most High. So the angels went and told God what was going on. I'm sure he already knew, but now God commands them. And he says to this, he says, thou hast seen what Azazel has done and has taught every species iniquity upon the earth, and has enclosed the world with secret things which are done in heaven. And Shemjaja also has taught sorcery. Okay. And so now he tells these angels, go there and bind them up and cast them in to outer darkness. Okay, so he's telling them, God is telling them, cast them in the outer darkness, lock them up and seal them. Okay, now let me read here. God tells them, restore the earth which the angels have corrupted, and announce life to it, that I may revive it. And so God is going to do that. Let me move on. Okay, here we are. It says, now the giants who have been born of the spirits and of flesh shall be called on the earth evil spirits, and on the earth shall be their habitation. What? You hear that? So now when they die from their fleshly bodies that are half human, half, it says their spirit still, it can't go to heaven. If you continue reading this book, God had not yet created hell, but he is going to create hell. But now he's saying, listen to this. Now the giants who have been born of the spirits of flesh shall be called on the earth evil spirits, and on the earth shall be their habitation. Evil spirits shall proceed from their flesh, because they were created from above. From the holy watchers was their beginning and primary foundation. Evil spirits shall they be on the earth, and the spirit of the wicked shall they be called. The habitation of the spirit of heaven shall be in heaven, but upon earth shall be the habitation of terrestrial spirits who are born on the earth. The spirit of giants shall be like the cloud, and they shall oppress, corrupt, fall, contend, and bruise upon the earth. So what are these spirits here to do? They're here for bad news, right? Their whole thing being here is to attack you, to attack your spiritual life. Okay? Now, a spirit without a body can't do nothing. You understand? So now I've got to find out, how can I get a body? How can I get a body? I can teach you roots and drugs, and if you do enough roots and drugs, you can open your pineal gland, and then I can come into you, because then your door will be open. Okay? If you drink enough alcohol, I can get your pineal gland open and I can come into you. Okay? So now these demons are trying to figure out the best ways to get inside of human beings. Okay? And so they find out that the best way is through drugs and alcohol. If alcoholism is a disease, why don't they sell it in stores? If drug addiction is a disease, why are they making marijuana legal? You understand? So who's behind it? Because if we have no drug addiction, we have no alcoholism, we have nothing to open your pineal gland, then you shut down the whole demonic thing. So now we can't have activity. Why? Because you won't open yourself up. I can't stab anybody. I can't even pick up a knife. But if I get inside of you, I can get you to pick one up. And so we don't understand what's going on here in the earth realm. So we watch commercials, and the commercials tell us what? This is cool. You can't go anywhere without drinking being part of the social environment. How did that happen? That drinking, you have a place where you can go and get drunk legally. You know what I mean? And you got to understand that there is a spirit behind it, okay?
Yes.
You are already born attracted to the opposite sex,
yes.
Okay? Your parents and your church is supposed to teach you how to control your body, how to treat a female, your kingdom environment should teach you how to operate in that. But if all you watch on television is people not married doing what they want to do at all times, you'll think that's how you're supposed to operate. That's how I'm supposed to live. I just meet you, I like you, and then I get with you, and then if I don't like you, I meet somebody else. That's how you're supposed to operate. And then if we believe that, we're going against the scriptures, right? You're going against the scriptures. You're going against. And then what do you get when you begin to live in sin?
Curse.
Deuteronomy 28 tells you. If you live in sin, cursings will follow after you. And they will grab you, and they will hug you. Okay? So if you begin living in sin, that cursing's running right behind you. And sooner or later, it catches up with you, right? And then now you have this life full of trouble. But it began because you tried it one time here, right? And so it follows you. And what do you get if you begin to live in a godly manner? You get blessings. It says those blessings will follow you, they will capture you, and they will take, it will embrace you and become a part of your life. Okay? So in Deuteronomy, he says, choose life. right? Choose you today what you will receive, okay? Here, let's continue reading this.
Amen.
Okay, so these demonic spirits are on the earth, and they're on the earth for a purpose, and that is the destruction of human beings. You got to get smart, okay? You've got to get smart. That means that you can't sit around your house saying whatever you want to say, because the scripture says that you have to be careful with your tongue. You can't say I'm a bum, I'm no good, because the Holy Spirit is going to say, don't say that. You say what God says about you. You're wonderfully made. You're smart. I'm blessed. You know what I mean? You have to say what God says about you, okay? Otherwise, you're out of obedience. Why would God tell us that? Because he knows, look, abracadabra. What does it mean?
Didn't God speak that in creation?
That's a Hebrew word. You know what it means? What I speak, I create. That's what abracadabra means, okay? Barah, to speak, okay, is what I create. Deborah, which means the thing. What I speak, I produce the thing. So don't abracadabra things into your life. Speak what you want. Speak what, and I'm not trying to tell you to have that as a religion, but have a practice of speaking great words to yourself.
Yeah.
Intelligent things to yourself, intelligent things to your children. You understand? Make that a life habit, because God is telling you to. Why? He knows that you live in a spiritual environment and they're living here amongst you. And if you produce your own bad luck with your own bad mouth and your own bad living, then God can't do anything for you. You understand? So we have to be smart and kingdom minded. Okay? We have to have what? The mind of Christ. And that mind is, I'm saturated in his word, whereas I now know how to live and be successful in the earth realm. And I know how to walk on demonic spirits. I know how to walk above them. How? Because I know that I have this power of the Spirit of God inside of me, and I have the authority of this name inside of me, and I know what to do and I know what not to do. Saw a football player on TV the other day. Police officer said, hey, can you give me your license and your registration? What are you waiting for? It's like, dummy, just give it to him.
They shooting.
Sir, I saw you speeding and then you sped out. Well, it was snowing. That's why I sped out. What you pulling me over for? I want to see your supervisor. That's what he's telling the guy. Okay. What does the scripture say? It says the authorities obey all authorities that are above you, right? Because when the authorities pull you over, he said, God said he put them here for a reason. Okay. So if you pull me over and you ask me for my driver's license and my registration, here you are, officer. What's the problem? He'll tell you, and then if you're getting a ticket, get a ticket. And if you're not, go move on about your way. But don't sit there. So he got tased. Ah! Ah! And he's trying to fight with the police, and is tired to throw a punch when you've been electrocuted. But the problem was not understanding the situation. Okay, if they pulled you over, fine. But now Satan is getting into your mind. He pulling you over because you black. Ain't nobody pulling you over because you black. You're speeding and you sped out. Okay? Be in obedience to the word. You're going to have a better life. You understand?
Amen.
I don't understand. Okay, here we go.
Good, Pastor. 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Praise God, I got 10 minutes. Now watch this. I'm going to read this. And it says Enoch 18, verse 11. And it says, and there, Enoch is watching, and there I saw a place on the other side of the expanse territory where waters were collected. I likewise beheld terrestrial fountains deep in the fiery columns of heaven. And in the columns of heaven, I beheld fire, which descended without number, but neither on high nor in the depths. Over the fountain also I perceived a place which had neither firmament of the heavens above nor solid ground beneath. Neither was there water above it nor anything on wing. It says, but the spot was desolate. And there I beheld seven stars like great blazing mountains and like the Spirit entreating me. And the angel said, this place until the consummation of heaven and earth will be the prison of angels and the host of heaven. The stars which roll over fire are those which transgress the commandments of God before their time. So Enoch watches God creating hell, and he says, what is this place for? And he says, this is for the angels that don't want to do right. And then the scripture tells us that God did not make hell for men. Right?
Amen.
God didn't make hell for men. But if we choose to be disobedient, he's only made heaven and hell. He only has two places, right? So that means we got to be able to choose, okay? I wish I'd known all of this stuff when I was younger, okay? Because I was that dumb guy getting in a fight with the police and I could have got shot, right? Because all I had to do was give my ID. I was that same guy, all right? But we get older and we get smarter, and you have to be smart. Like, look, I have to live my life in humility, in obedience to God's word. And by doing that, I'm going to watch great things happen.
Amen.
I'm going to watch great things. If I live right, I'm going to watch great things happen. So when I started living right, oh my goodness, life just opened up. Beautiful things were going on. I was like, oh my goodness, I stopped sinning and life just began to flow with blessings. I wish I'd known this years ago, right? It's how you live. You're going to get what you live. You understand?
I have another question for you.
Yes.
Ready to Fly says, so if you can lose salvation, where in the word does it say you can be born again more than once? Is it one?
John, 1 John 1:9. If you sin, you can ask forgiveness, and he's just, and he'll forgive you for your sins. I don't want to hear no more about once saved, always saved. I will pray for you, leave your name. Because I can't convince anybody who believes in once saved, always saved, that is real. If you want to believe you're once saved, always saved, smoke as much weed, fornicate as much as you want, and then when you go before God, tell him you were once saved and you were always saved, and see how it works out. But I'm not going to sit here tearing myself up anymore with people who want to believe that they can sin and not repent and still go to heaven. Because it doesn't work that way. Okay?
Good word.
All right. So, in my 5 minutes, I'm going to say what I have to say. I told you I need nothing as notes, Pastor. I ain't reading one note that I had. Okay? But I do want to say this. Look. No one in this world is going to make me not excited about the rapture.
Amen.
You understand? I don't care if it's happening next week or 10 years from now. I'm going to still say I can't wait for that blessed day that we're leaving. You understand? And I'm not going to let that spirit attach itself to me where I'm afraid to tell you that one day the Lord's coming for
Amen.
Us and he's already built a place for us and he's coming to take us with him and we're going to be forever with the Lord. I'm not going to ever back away from preaching that or saying it or being joyful about it, because each day I wake up is my blessed hope.
Yes.
And I wake up thinking this could be the day.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
I wake up like that. I'm realizing now from what the Lord was showing me today is that the attack against the rapture is bigger than a physical, a person don't like you because you talk about the rapture. That is a spirit that says, don't pastor of a church, right?
Right.
And it seems like the best platform for you to sell that book is being a pastor of a mega church, being on TV.
Yeah.
But no, you can't be pastor anymore. Why? You wrote Left Behind. Hmm. We're putting somebody else in charge, okay? But God blessed him anyway. He got a TV deal and the book still sold.
Yeah.
You understand? But the people that were over the church says, no, we don't preach that here. You understand? The attack against speaking about it, against having hope for it, right? I don't want you hoping for it. I don't want you thinking about it. Because if you hope for it and you think about it, you'll live right because you're always trying to stay ready for it. I want you to be complacent about it. So then your Christianity becomes complacent. Rapture keeps me on my toes.
Amen.
I sin, I repent. Why? I want to be ready. You understand? So don't let that spirit attach itself to you. Okay? It's not a spirit from God. Okay? God calls them mockers and scoffers. Okay? God says, once the church is gone, God is going to say, now who are you mocking?
Yep.
That means God is not very happy with those type of people.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Let's stay excited. We're still in wheat harvest season. I don't know how much of July it lasts, but if we go into wheat harvest, it's perfectly on time. Let's get ready to go. Someone sent me the thing today, said somebody predicted both earthquakes 2 weeks before the earthquakes happened. And he said, the same guy said, it's going to happen. We got one more coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to get home and look at this guy and find out who he is.
Send it to me.
And how did he know that there was going to be two earthquakes in California?
Amen.
But my thing is, we got to stay ready. You understand?
Amen.
Because look, life changes like that.
Yep.
Rapture happens like that. Okay? And so always have God on your side. Praise God.
Pastor Amen. Sandy, there's yes. a soldier in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Afghanistan.
Amen.
Afghanistan
and Hong Kong?
And Hong Kong.
We got people all over the world, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
We're going to have to learn some new languages.
I know.
You first, though.
All right. No, the young one go first. You go
all right. First. Shalom, everybody. Lead to the oath Mahar for what? Bible Club, right?
Yes, tomorrow.
Praise God.
Amen.
God is good.